This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Underfunded community legal centres have been forced to turn away increasing numbers of people in desperate need of support. And a group of specialist LGBTIQ plus community legal centres and Community Legal Centres Australia have highlighted the lack of funding and the impact it's having on those needing assistance. And Joe Stanford is the principal solicitor at LGBTI Legal Service in Queensland. Joins us on the line. Joe, welcome to Drive.
Good afternoon, Warren. Thanks so much for having us.
200,000 people being turned away. I mean, that's a phenomenal number. What happens to them if they can't afford legal advice?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting trying to map the numbers of, well, you know, if queer people, LGBTIQA plus people in Australia, we won't obviously know until the census, but some of the numbers we've got, at least in Queensland, we know that, look, there's at least 150,000 queer Queenslanders, and about 60% of those people will experience a legal problem in any one year. So it's about 90,000. I know for our little legal service, we've got one lawyer to cover the whole state.
So
the access to justice gap is massive. And people, you know, look, there's people come to us with all kinds of different legal problems and legal questions and queries, you know, whether it's about just a family law issue, if it's about a tenancy issue, a debt issue, and also some very specific legal issues that it's really important to have a specialist legal, queer legal service to provide that assistance. You know, things to do with gender affirming care, things to do with discrimination, navigating different bureaucratic and administrative systems. So there's a lot of different issues that come up and needs that people have that they come to us seeking assistance, and, you know, we have to, it's absolutely heartbreaking to have to turn away increasing numbers of people. It's the third time just in 12 months that we've had to close our books because we're just absolutely over capacity at the moment.
I was just going to ask you, what's it like, turning away people that, I mean, so many people, and I imagine you're working at a community legal centre because you want to help people.
Yeah. And our whole team is, and almost all of our team members are from the queer community. So we really see and understand the experiences that people have and when they're reaching out for that support and how vulnerable a moment that is for people. So, yeah, look, I think it's really heartbreaking. It's really challenging. We also have to look after our own staff's, you know, health and wellbeing as well. And ultimately, the main issue is the resourcing piece. We're lucky in one sense that we even have a funded legal service in Queensland, even though it is so tiny and stretched. And we've launched this funding advocacy campaign because in 5 out of 8 states and territories in Australia, there's no queer-friendly legal service at all. So we're really kind of reaching out across the country and to governments to say, look, you need to really properly fund these services because, you know, you asked me what happens to people when they don't get assistance.
Why is it important that we have community legal centres that are specifically catering for the queer community?
Well, because from what we know, from what clients tell us on the phone and some research we've done, they won't get help if otherwise. More than half of people who we surveyed last year said that they were less likely to access a legal service if it wasn't specifically safe, inclusive and accessible. So they won't get the help. And we know that when people don't get help with their legal problems, they often pile up, they cause mental, physical distress, often financial distress. You know, people aren't getting advice on their rights and entitlements, they can pile up. And, you know, we're really concerned about those health and wellbeing outcomes and those other, the other areas. The law impacts all kinds of areas of life, right? Your relationships, your housing security, your financial wellbeing. So it's impacting all those other domains of life if they're not getting good legal assistance.
Joe, I know you've worked with online safety a bit in that area, and that's an increasing risk for all of us. And I suppose with the recent tragedy we saw in Sydney, as well as, you know, we're seeing drag queens being getting abused for simply telling stories, and there's so many different more, you know, types of online safety issues going on. How does that impact the person being targeted? And what? Why do they need legal advice?
Yeah, well, we had one client who agreed to let us share her story. She chose the name Sophie, obviously, to identify herself, and she's a trans activist who was doxxed online, and then her details were shared with neo-Nazi networks, and then she was getting threatening death threats to her work email, which was causing a lot of problems with her. You know, she was feeling unsafe and then causing lots of headaches with the workplace that she was employed at. And, you know, there are actually, a lot of people aren't aware, but there are actually some laws that are in place, and there's the eSafety Commission is actually able to, has some powers to issue takedown notices and block accounts or require social media platforms to block accounts that are posting, are doxing, are posting bullying and harassing content. It needs to be directed at an individual, but we'll go into the details. But but there are actually some systems in place that, unfortunately, a lot of people in the queer community aren't aware of these systems and services that are able to access, and also how they might be able to make reports to police so that they can have those reports in the system and so that they're able to access support from the police if they choose to, in a safer way.
So if there's no funding, if you haven't got sufficient funding, then those people are turned away and they may never find out that they can take action towards someone who's doxed them, for example.
Yeah, and also the funding impacts our ability to get those messages out. You know, we produce some resources. We'd love to share that message more widely so at least people have information about their rights. And then, but often, you know, there's a lot of information and awareness campaigns around, like, for example, domestic family violence. But at the end of that are often helplines, you know, like QLife, which is under-resourced, like our service, like the other community legal centres. So if you need help, call this number. And unfortunately, if those services aren't resourced, we're just raising awareness but sending people to dead ends when with underfunded services.
We're chatting with Jo Sanford, Principal Solicitor, the LGBTI Legal Service in Queensland. Jo, something that interests me is, you know, there's lots of, sadly, countries where homosexuality is still illegal and could result in the death sentence. How does the government view these applications? Are they a priority?
That's a really interesting one. I am not a migration law expert, and this is where one of the really interesting things I often say is that law, like medicine, like when you go to the doctor, we're all very specialised, and so I couldn't give you, I suppose I kind of give a very general sort of flavour of that, but the best people to talk to are the HIV AIDS Legal Centre, who operate in Sydney and Queensland, and they actually provide specialist advice in migration matters. But what we see is, I think what people often need support with is they might be able to access, you know, a refugee, like a humanitarian visa, but they need extra support to get their partners and family members over to Australia, and that's can be a complex area of law. People need some specific advice and assistance. And then one of the real challenges for people coming from those marginalised queer and called or culturally and linguistically diverse communities or refugee backgrounds is it's so, you know, it's unsafe for them to reach out to their, often their communities of their country of origin because they might not be accepting of their sexuality. And then often they're discriminated against within the queer community or generally more, you know, white mainstream, you know, queer communities, and so they can have that kind of double level of discrimination and find those additional barriers for accessing services. So that's why it's really important that we have, you know, really strong queer funded queer services, and also we also do the work to make sure that the refugee immigration services are also queer friendly inclusive. So one of the really key pieces of work we do is not just providing legal assistance to people, but we do a lot of education and training and sector capacity building. So we talk to the other legal services and legal aid about how they can make their services more inclusive so that people can, if we refer them to another service, they can feel comfortable that they're going to get a positive and safe and friendly response.
Jo, let's talk about, I suppose, the community legal centres in general. How do the how does it stack up? How are the queer legal centres in terms of funding compared to, say, the general legal centres out there, community legal centres. How does it compare? Is it equal, or is our sector completely underfunded?
Look, all community legal centres are underfunded, and there's a great campaign run by our national peak, Community Legal Centres Australia, which is calling for an immediate injection of $125 million to the entire sector. I think the challenge for queer legal services is that that we have historically, queer community organisations have been underfunded compared to, you know, feminist and women's advocacy organisations and other centres that have been running for much longer. You know, the first CLC started in the 70s and 80s, you know, with, you know, Caxton in Queensland, or Fitzroy Legal Centre, or Redfern Legal Centre. A lot of our organisations are only been established in the last kind of, you know, 5, 10, 15 years, and they haven't had that historical investment. Also, like I said, it's very patchy. You know, we've got 4 legal services, all on the Eastern Seaboard, Brisbane, Sydney and Melbourne, but none in Western Australia or Tasmania, South Australia.
Does the government prioritise at all?
Well, they do actually have these priority cohorts. So they say under their funding agreements, they say, okay, we're going to provide funding to all centres, but we provide additional funding, and we also ask state governments to prioritise further allocations of funding to different cohorts. So, you know, young people, old people, people from rural and remote communities, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people,
but
all people
queer.
Who we recognise need, but they do need that extra assistance. But the research has shown that queer people also need priority assistance. They need targeted interventions. They need co-design solutions with community-controlled organisations. But despite that, we've been kind of left off the list. So we're also calling for the Commonwealth government to include queer people as a priority cohort.
So, I mean, we don't want to take away any of the pie from any of the legal centres, like you said, but $125 million is not a lot of money to fund the community legal centres. What are you going to do to try and get the government to listen and include queer people in the priority list?
So we've written to the Federal Attorney General and the Expenditure Review Committee. So they're the MPs who hold the pen on the federal budget, to ask them to, allocate an injection of funding to our sector and also make ours a priority group so that we can drive more sustainable investments across the sector, across the country and into the future. We're also asking the state governments to also chip in as well because, you know, laws and legal issues affect all different kinds of areas of our life. Some of them are Commonwealth laws, like employment and family law, and some are state laws, like, you know, criminal law and domestic and family violence. And people experiencing legal problems in all aspects of their lives, and the Commonwealth and state government need to come to the table and co-fund those services that are providing that assistance. It's really uneven and patchy. Like in Queensland, we're completely reliant on the Queensland government for our funding, and we don't get any Commonwealth funding. And then there's other centres like the Inner City Legal Centre, which has Commonwealth funding but no state funding. So we really need both parties to come to the table and really see their responsibility and their role in helping our communities thrive.
Have you had a response to the letter yet?
Not yet. Not yet.
We'll get the Joy Drive investigative team onto it.
Get onto it. Yeah. So we'll be keeping on following up. But I think what also helps is hearing people's stories and experiences. You know, if you have had a good experience with one of these legal centres and services that's made a positive impact, sharing that positive story. If you haven't been able to access it, or you know, if you have been struggling with some legal problems or legal questions, and if you can explain how having a career-friendly lawyer would really make all the difference, hearing those stories is what shifts those hearts and minds. We've got a really great business case. We can talk about the Access Justice Gap. We can talk about the return on investment, which is about $18 for every $1 invested in CLCs. But I think it's really the personal stories. So we've launching a bit of a campaign to for people who want to follow along on the journey, if they might want to share some stories. We're not going to spam you. We're not going to ask for money. But if you've got some just general people in the community and also organisations who might want to sign on to our joint campaign, we're going to be running for the next couple of months, you can jump onto the LGBTI Legal Service website, www.lgbtilegalservice.org.au, or onto our Instagram, and just sign up to the mailing list and we'll share some opportunities and keep you informed of how the campaign's going.
Yes, and Joe, I want us to be on that priority list. I'm a bit annoyed at that.
Yeah.
Keep us posted on what's going on, and hopefully we'll get some funding to run the legal centres, because they're such an important part of our society.
Thanks so much, Warren.
Thank you for chatting with us. It's Joe Sanford, the Principal Solicitor at the LGBTI Legal Service in Queensland.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.